Good morning, church. My clock says 10:34. I think it's time to get started. Yes. All right, let's stand and sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Please be seated.
Morning, church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be in the worship service this morning. Father, we sometimes fail to realize just how blessed and how fortunate we are. And we're so thankful for this opportunity, the opportunity to be together and strengthen one another, and most of all, to lift up praises to you as we worship together. Father, we're mindful of things that are going on in the world and covet your blessings. Father, we have this coronavirus that we're dealing with in our world here and across the globe. We pray, Father, for healing for those that have been touched by that and for protection for those that are yet unaffected. And we pray that in your will and in your way and in your time that this be taken from us and that our world and our nation be healed and that things get back to where they should be. And Father, we submit our will to your wisdom and in all things. Father, we're also mindful of other things going on across the globe, and we're especially mindful of the things that are happening over in Afghanistan. And Father, I don't know that any of us have the answers for that. I don't know that we know what is best there. And we just pray that you will be with the people in that country, the people that are staying and the people that are getting out. And we know that there are many people that have suffered because of the events that are going on there and continue to go on there. And we're especially mindful of the church in that country, and we just pray for your blessings there, and pray that in all things, as always, that your will be done. But we are mindful of them, and Father, if there's ways that we can do anything that can be of help or assistance there, we pray that we'll recognize those opportunities and try to take advantage of those opportunities to help others. Father, we're thankful for our congregation here and for the blessing of our being able to get together from time to time and to study your word together. So thankful that we're back to being able to have Bible classes again, and and pray that you'll bless us in our efforts there and in our worship assembly. It's just so good to be able to be together in person. We pray that we will continue to be able to do that. But again, we pray for your wisdom and guidance in that as well. Father, we thank you for all of our blessings. We do have indeed have so much to be thankful for. And we pray that you will continue to bless us as you see our needs. And Father, you've blessed us so much, so richly, even beyond our needs. And Father, help us to never lose sight of that and to recognize that and not take our blessings for granted. Father, we especially thank you for our spiritual blessings. We thank you for your Spirit who guides us as we go from day to day and help us to yield our will to yours and allow him to guide us. And Father, we especially thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice, for the life that he lived and the life that he gave so that we can be reconciled back unto you. Help us never lose sight of the significance of that as well, Father. And as we go through our worship this morning, help us reflect on these things and all these things we ask in his name. Amen.
We haven't sung this song in a while, so let's all stand and sing this together. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God falls on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, rise.
That was tough.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescued the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithful in loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Amen. Please be seated. This next song is the song before communion. I hope everyone's having a good weekend, by the way. The Henley household is having a weird weekend. It's Sarah's final weekend to work as a resident, hopefully. So we have 3 more weeks till she's done as a resident. I don't know why we're clapping. Okay, I guess we can clap about that. But she worked nights, and so she worked Friday night for 12 hours and then last night for 12 hours, hence why they are at home, not here. She wanted to see her kids. But yesterday we found time to go to our pool somehow. So we went to our pool, we had lunch, and during that lunchtime, the kids tend to dry off a little bit, they take off their floaties, and then right after lunch, the kids want to go right back into the pool. So Virginia, made sure she was ready with her floaty back on. I went over to the other side of the pool. She jumped in. We're having a blast. And then all of a sudden, I see Sarah jump in the pool. And she had not gotten in the pool up to that point. What happened was Winnie jumped in the pool. I did not skip the part where she put on her floaty because she didn't put on her floaty. She just jumped in. She's like, I'm ready to have some more fun. Let's go. So she jumped in without her floaty, and she can't swim. And so that was a fun 2 seconds where Sarah realized that she didn't have her floaty on as well, jumped in. And I don't know, at times I feel like our faith should be like that. We should just jump in without a floaty. But I think it's also okay to have a floaty. So wherever you are today, if you need to have a floaty on, put that floaty on. If you need to dive in, just dive in. Let's sing this song. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Amen.
Good morning. Everyone have their communion cup? If you don't, raise your hand and we'll see if we can get you one. Okay. As I was thinking of something to say here today, an old song kept coming through my mind that my mother sang a lot. And kind of goes along with Revelation 5. If you can recall, where the Lamb was taking the scroll from God's hands and getting ready to open the seals. But I won't sing it to you, I won't put you through that, but I would like to read it to you and listen to the words of it. I think it's very appropriate at this time. Just supposed God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Well, I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." And I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels from these hands to pull the nails that torment me. It says, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, and had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Beautiful song, and I think it sums up just exactly what Christ stood up to do, what the Father had asked, and that gave us the hope that we have today. So as I offer, these things are really crazy. Of course, we've been doing them a lot. You got that thin film on top, pull it back, and I offer thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we're so thankful that you didn't turn down the opportunity to come and to be the sacrifice that we needed. We thank you, Lord, for this bread that represents your body, and ask that you would be with each of us as we do our best to focus our mind and to remember you and what all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. now offer thanks for the fruit of the vine. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again, we come thanking you for the blood that you shed for each of us on the cross. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart for all that you've done. Ask your blessings upon this fruit of the vine, upon each one that partakes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to offer thanks for the giving. We have a plate outside there that you can put your offering in. And, of course, a lot of people do it online. Truly are thankful. Bow with me, please. Thank you, Lord, for all that is given and given freely. And we pray, Lord, that you use this money for the furtherance of your kingdom. And for those who are in need, ask your blessings upon each. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, kiddos, now you can go. Not all at once. Age 2 to 2nd grade. Let's sing them out. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible. Let your spirit come, fall upon me now. Let your spirit come, fall upon me now. And let the rain fall down, pour upon my soul. Come and wash me now, come and make me whole. Let your spirit come, fall upon me now. Let your spirit come, fall upon me now. And let the rain fall down, pour upon my soul. Come and wash me now, come and make me whole. Let your spirit come.
Good morning, church. We're going to handle things just a little bit differently in how we do this. And don't worry, I know all of you love doing this. Here in just a minute, I am going to allow you to stand and greet, but greet from a distance. But I want us to actually begin our time recognizing a couple things and then have a prayer, and then I'll ask you to stand and get into that. You know, as Dad mentioned in his prayer, there's several things going on right now. You know, COVID is stirring back up, so I do want us to keep that in mind as we stand and greet. Maybe we will just kind of wave at each other. You know, we do have everything going on in Afghanistan. Hurricane Ida is bearing down on the Gulf basically as we speak. But we want to keep those things in mind. We also want to recognize, you know, some of the good things that's going on as well, and pray for those. I'll remind you of our stuffed animal drive. That will continue to go on for the, you know, forever. There's constantly going to have that need, but we do have our goal, I believe, by next weekend to have 300, and we set 53 away right now from Sheila kissing a pig. you all think I'm joking about this. I've got something in the works. So 53 stuffed animals are needed by next Sunday. So that is your challenge. But just, I do want to thank you all for that. And like I said, that will get us to 300 that we've donated. They've told us they go through about 600 in a year. So it's still only just kind of making a dent in it, and it's just a continual thing that we will keep doing. But I appreciate you all doing that. Also, be reminded, we have had our classes get started back up over the course of the past month. Appreciate everyone helping out with that. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in September, which starts our new official quarter, which will be a three-month quarter, September, October, and November. So there, some classes will have new teachers, some will have the teacher that you've been with. But if you're coming in as a new teacher and you're wanting some curriculum, I've got some, and I forgot it at home this morning. So we'll get together and get that to you. But it's here, which is, I guess, better than it not being here. Let's pray, and then after we pray, I'll allow you to stand up and have just a short moment of greeting one another, especially from a distance. Greet John Schumann. It's good to have him with us here this morning and feeling better. So be sure to wave at him and say hi, and Cindy as well. Let's pray, and then you can stand and greet one another. Father, we thank you for the fact that within the times of good news and the times of bad news, that the times where we feel confident in what's going on and the times when we have no clue how to handle what's going on. Father, we know that you are God in all times, and that gives us hope, and that gives us peace. Father, we pray for everything that's going on around us. We pray for the situation that continues to bear down on us with COVID. We pray for the situation over in Afghanistan right now. We pray for the people down in the Gulf right now as this hurricane comes and bears down on them. Father, we pray for the children who are being positively affected by these stuffed animals coming their way, but we pray that and recognize also the situations that they're coming out of, and we pray that you be there as well. Father, in all things, we pray that we will just constantly be looking to you and recognizing that you are God, and you are the one who created this world. You are the one who sustains this world through your Spirit. You are the one who has brought redemption and reconciliation to this world through your Son. And so, Father, our hope is in you, and we praise you for that. We love you so much, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, stand and greet one another, and we'll get started in just 1 minute. All right, and as you're getting settled, I know there might be some others, but I have been made aware that it is Joe Riley's birthday today. So everybody just kind of look at Joe and say, happy birthday, Joe. All right. I'd sing to you, but nobody wants that. It'd be the worst birthday present ever. So we are in the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 5. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be looking at the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. All right, and before we get into that, I want you to just do me a favor. Just kind of take a couple deep breaths. Just kind of take it all in for a second. Think about where we've been in Romans. And after taking a deep breath or two, I'm going to ask you to get loud again. Why don't you just let out just the most joyous sound that you could possibly make. Just give us a big woohoo. All right, on the count of three, we're all going to do it together. I'm going to turn my mic off because it'll be loud. You ready? All right, you may be thinking, why is Stephen acting so weird and why are we doing that? Mainly because I like to see you all do silly things. We have been in a difficult part of Romans thus far. And we have looked at, you know, Romans as it's declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul's words. As he declares this gospel, he then immediately goes into talking about wrath and judgment and the difficult things that are also a part of the full story of the gospel. And we come to chapter 4, and Paul begins to talk more about this idea of salvation that comes through justification through faith. And this idea of justification and faith and bringing us all the way back to recognizing ourselves as children of our father Abraham, who is our father in the faith for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul is working on bringing them all together with that realization. And as we come through chapter 4 here, as we've worked our way through chapter 4, it kind of needs to be recognized that if we stopped at this point, Warren Wiersbe said if a reader of the letter stopped at this point, he would know that he needed to and could be saved. And that's kind of where Paul is bringing us to, is this recognition that yes, every single one of us, Jew or Gentile, are in fact sinful human beings. We are all, in many ways, finding ourselves to be wretched and deserving of punishment as we stand before the great and powerful judge who is God. But at the same time, there's good news. And that good news is where we are coming to even more so as we continue this theme of justification. You see, as we've been looking through the book of Romans together, we've been kind of basing our study off this question of how can I be right with God, and looking at Paul's use of righteousness or rightness before God within this great letter. And Paul kind of delivers his message here, delivers his gospel as he opens up in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and gives his shortened gospel, gives his thesis statement, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Paul has set out this gospel like this, and then he kind of goes into his terms of wrath and judgment, and then eventually into salvation, which comes through justification through faith. And as we come to the end of Romans chapter 4 that we looked at briefly last week, Romans chapter 4 ends with these verses. "That is why his faith, speaking of our father Abraham, was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Think about that for a moment. As the scene has been set for us to recognize ourselves as sinful human beings who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, who are now hearing that for all of us who are members of the household of faith, Jesus Christ died but was also raised again for our justification. And as Paul continues, he's going to expand on those last two words, our justification. But as we see sometimes in the book of Romans, it's like even Paul himself gets a little bit overwhelmed. A little bit overwhelmed by the nature of what he's teaching, by the nature of the gospel and what it means for himself as a sinful human being. Overwhelmed recognizing what it is that he deserves, but also what it is that is being offered to him. And as we come to these first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, it's like Paul has just sat back for a moment. And he's taken a couple deep breaths. And then he's just let out a big woohoo. And he almost gets a little bit lyrical, almost as if Paul is singing out this praise to God in these first 11 verses. And it's all about our justification. And so he says, therefore, and we've talked about it before, when it says therefore, we got to see what it's there for. He's talking about the justification. And he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the message of the gospel, and this is the message that Paul is bringing to his readers here at Rome, and even bringing forth to us in Canal City on whatever today's date is, 2021. We have been justified by faith. And even though I'm sinful, and even though you're sinful, and even though I'm deserving of the wrath of God, I have been justified. And because of that, rather than being an enemy of God, the terminology he uses here is almost as terminology of war. And rather than being an enemy of God, because that's what we are, when we turn our backs on God and when we sin against God, we in fact become enemies of God. But God has justified us. And instead of being an enemy, we can have peace with God. Peace with God, and in our lives also experience the peace of God. And he says it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he says, through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You see, this is forming some of the theme of some of the songs that Carson has picked out for us this morning as we look at themes of peace and grace and hope in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We've gained access into the presence of God. The veil has been torn, and Jesus has ushered us in to be able to sit at the feet of God, to be able to come to him and talk to him and speak to him. The word that's used here for access, it's a pretty interesting word, and in some versions, I think in the New American Standard Bible, it reads, we have gained our introduction. And it's a word that means introduction. David Roper, who has a commentary on Romans, said it like this. In secular literature, it was used, speaking of that introduction, of admission to an audience with the great king. And he said, we might think of Jesus leading us into the throne room of God and saying with a smile on his face, let me introduce you to my friend. This is the access that we have received, because we, though we have sinned and though we have fallen short of the glory of God and though we deserve wrath and condemnation, have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, who has delivered us over and introduced us to his Father and said, this is my friend. And Paul is, he's singing out in joy about this. And so he says, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. He also speaks of grace being the very thing which becomes the anchor in which we are standing. We sometimes think of grace as being this idea of God's salvation that comes to us and how we need it, and it's true. But we almost see it as that one-time event, as if by God's grace we have been saved. But Paul says that grace is also the thing in which we stand and continue to find our anchor and our hope and our continual salvation. We hear kind of the idea of this as we read the words of that famous song that we sing oftentimes, Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote, 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will also lead me home. And this is what Paul is singing out here. through grace and through faith, we have come into the throne room of God. But as we continue to live life on this side of the kingdom, we also know that that grace is what we'll stand in and what will lead us home. And as Paul thinks about this justification by faith, and he thinks about this grace and this access that we now enjoy to the Father, he continues his song and he says, "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in hope. We have hope that we will one day find the full salvation that's promised to us. We have hope because of what Christ has already done for us. But we also have hope that on that great day of judgment, that Christ will continue to usher us all the way home. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And Paul continues his rejoicing because now that we know that, yes, we are sinful human beings, and we shouldn't have a hope. We should have a fear of death and condemnation and wrath. We have hope and we can rejoice. And because of that, we will continue to rejoice. We will continue to stand in that grace. And Paul continues and he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. And we may think, well, hold on a second there, Paul. We were with you before that, but we thought this whole, you know, following God thing, this whole faith in God thing would take care of our sufferings. I mean, that was kind of the viewpoint oftentimes of the people around him, especially the Jewish Christians. You know, maybe we don't want this new faith, Paul. Maybe we want the law and the prophets, and maybe we want just, you know, being able to claim our father Abraham, because we think that if we just do everything right, then we won't have to suffer. And Paul says, no, that's not quite it. But we can still rejoice. We can rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And I love this. Because he says, not only that, coming out of the rejoicing in hope, but we can rejoice in our suffering, rejoicing knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character comes full circle and produces more hope. And so he says, we even can rejoice in the difficult times, because we know that the difficult times are serving to strengthen our faith and to strengthen our hope, to strengthen who we are in God as the justified, as those who have been claimed by God and made free, free from sin and free from the chains of sin. And so he continues in verse 5 and he says, and hope does not put us to shame. You see, that's the thing about hope. Hope can, you know, depending on what we put our hope in, hope can sometimes let us down. I hope every year that the Reds are going to win the World Series. And since 1990, they've been letting me down every year. And that hope has put me to shame. And I still have that hope this year. I mean, they're in the wild card right now. They're going to get there. But hope and things around us put us to shame at times. But Paul says that the hope that we have in the grace of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in the blood that was shed by Jesus that allows us to have access to the Father and that we rejoice in, the hope that we can have even in our sufferings, that hope's not going to put us to shame. That hope is certain. Because God's love, this is how we know it. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so in Acts 2:38, you know, we're told, Peter tells them, you know, as they ask, what should we do? They're told to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts, sealing that hope within us, sealing that hope that's been given to us, so that hope will not put us to shame. That Holy Spirit is the seal of God's love for us that was given through Jesus Christ and now sealed through the Holy Spirit. I love this vision of the triune God that Paul puts out here. We see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, sealing that hope within us. The hope that maybe after reading the first 3.5 chapters of Romans, maybe we were beginning to think, it's not looking so good for us. But then Paul kind of expands and gives that hope in the last part of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. And like I said, it's like at this point, Paul's like, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming when you actually realize just how bad I am and how much I don't deserve heaven, how much I don't deserve God's love, how much I don't deserve this hope, and yet God still loves me. And God through his Son still justifies me. And God through his Spirit seals that salvation within me. And Paul is singing out because of this, and he's rejoicing. And then he explains why it's so crazy. Because he says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, some have recognized this idea of reconciliation that Paul's going to speak about even more as we get into verses 9 and 10. And this idea of atonement, which is the kind of the doctrine that Paul is putting forth here. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And some have looked at this word atonement and seen it as an at-one-ment. The time at which we are made at one with Jesus. The Jesus who has sought to reconcile us to himself. You see, the idea of reconciliation is one party reaching out to the other and bringing them in beside themselves. And some scholars recognize that it is interesting that Paul is the first one at this moment to bring forth this idea that Jesus took the first step in reconciling us. That Jesus looked at us and said, yes, you are a sinner. And I want you back anyway. And so even in, like I said, it's kind of a vision of war here. Enemies against each other. The sinner who is unworthy on one side, and the holy and perfect and just and righteous God on the other side. And as these two should be battling against each other, and the sinner already losing, it is God who reaches out and says, no, I don't want to fight this. Instead, I want to bring you home and make you at one with me and reconcile you to myself. And so Paul says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Michael Byrd, who I've quoted a few different times, I really like his commentary here on Romans, says this about this moment. He says, and yet, and this is the shocking and affronting element of the atonement, God shows his love for sinners by sending Christ to die for them, to make atonement for their sin, for their rectification, redemption, and reconciliation. He says, Christ does not die for the righteous. You see, that's the idea we've been looking at, is how can we be right? Christ didn't die for us because we are right. He dies to make the unrighteous righteous. And he says, this is the topsy-turvy, crazy, freaky, wildly illogical, world-denying, self-giving love that God shows sinners in Christ Jesus. And see, that is this beautiful picture that we have. As we motivate ourselves and ask ourselves this question, how can I be right with God? What Paul is pointing out is, you can't do anything about it, but yet you can still be right with God. Because Christ didn't die for the righteous. Instead, Christ died for the sinner, for the unrighteous, so that we could take on his righteousness. be covered in his rightness, and stand before God justified and right. That is what Paul is celebrating as he sings this. And so he says in verses 9 and 10, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Paul is pointing out a reality here that we need to understand, that salvation is somewhat ongoing. That yes, we were saved while we were sinners when Christ died for us. And it was his death and his blood shed on the cross that saved us from our sins. But it's his life that will continue to save us and put us before the judgment seat of God, being found right and being found justified. And so he says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, then how much more so now are we going to be reconciled and saved by his life? You see, I think there's oftentimes a fear within us, especially if we have more of a legalistic type view of God and his law. This fear that if I don't do everything right, and that if I mess up every once in a while, then I won't be saved. And I think it at certain points has become common to hear people talk about, if I could just make it to heaven, and I'm really not deserving of it, and I hope that maybe by the skin of my teeth I'll make it into heaven. And this is the beauty that Paul is singing out and telling us about, is that you're not going to make it into heaven by the skin of your teeth. And you're not just barely going to make it in because you happen to do everything right. But rather, we can have hope, a certain hope, that won't put us to shame because we've been justified. And we stand before God not as Stephen Walker with my list of sins weighed against my list of good deeds. That's not what God looks at when he sees me, and that's not what God will look at when I stand before him on that great day of judgment. He's not going to say, "Well, Stephen, you just barely made it. The pros outweighed the cons." Or maybe he'll say, "Yeah, Stephen, you were close. And if we were grading on a curve, then maybe you'd get it. But you just missed out." That's not what God looks at. God looks at me and he says, "Stephen, you're covered in the blood of the Lamb. And you've been sealed by his Spirit. You don't deserve this, but you've been made right. And you've been justified." And this is the hope that we have that will not put us to shame, so that we can walk through life enduring the hardships. That's going to produce character, that's going to produce even more hope. And we can mess up at times and know that we can continue to walk forward obediently as children of faith. And in all things, we can have hope. Because even though we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God. Because God reached out to us. God took the first step towards us by the death of his son. And he offered us his salvation through the death of his son, so how much more will he offer us salvation through the life of his son? And so Paul ends this section by saying, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's a short section of scripture, and it kind of forms this bridge from the first half to the second half. It forms this bridge from kind of the difficult part and the somewhat disheartening part as we think about our sin, a bridge to the hope that we have. As Paul sings out, and he rejoices in God, and he rejoices in the fact that he has peace with God, and now he can have the peace of God. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And we may wonder what that means at times, but we understand that when we realize that we can have peace even in our sufferings. And we can have peace even when we realize that we've sinned sometimes. Because we know that God took the first step through his Son and offered reconciliation. And said, I will take on your sins. And I will punish your sins because I'm a just God and I have to punish sin. But it will be punished through the blood of my Son. And now you can have hope. A hope that won't put you to shame. A hope that's guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Hope that we can live in every day and live with peace. And so, in the good times and in the bad, in the times when everything looks all right and everything looks down, no matter that, in all things, we can rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And so this morning, we are going to stand together and we are going to rejoice with Paul. Rejoice in this hope that we have. Rejoice that we've made it through the first part of Romans and found God's justification, put our faith in him and have hope. And we can now stand in his grace. And so let's stand together. And if you need to respond to the invitation, putting Christ on in baptism, if you need prayers, whatever it might be, let's stand together and let's sing.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know and speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man, he is our God, the great I am.
Amen.
I want to thank Stephen for that message this morning. That is the good news. That is the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, and with all the things going on in the world that we all are aware of, it's great to focus on the goal line and the reward in front of us. Obviously, we all know, or most of us know, about the announcements made last week with Steve and Erica, and we're continuing to work through the process as they move on. And I think we've talked to a number of folks here who are going to participate in the process of searching for our next minister. And if you are interested in getting involved with that, certainly the more the merrier. We benefit from gaining perspective from everyone. So if you are interested in participating in that process, see one Tom or me or whomever, Stephen, over the next few days. We've already kind of started on that, working on that, but want to forge forward. Obviously, it's great to see everyone out this morning. It's great to see John and Cindy, and happy to see Rita and her family, although I was like, hold on a second, who's that man standing beside Serenity? And I was like, that's JoJo. Holy cow. But it's great to see everyone this morning, and we'll end with our prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for the confidence and the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the message that was brought to us this morning and the peace and confidence that we can go throughout our daily lives knowing that we are going to be saved and spend eternity with you in heaven. Father, we want to lift up a few folks in prayer to you right now. We have obviously a lot going on in the world with the things in this awful situation in Afghanistan. We want to pray for your will to be done there and for peace there. Father, we want to pray for those affected by COVID. I know we all are affected by what's going on with the coronavirus, and certainly there are those loved ones in our lives that are sick and struggling, and we want to remember all of them in prayer, but specifically we want to pray for Linda Hall's daughter, Michelle. We want to pray for Greg Moore's sister, Kayla, and any others that I'm sure I'm overlooking. It's a scary time. We just want to lift them up and pray that you can bless them and heal them and help them to recover quickly. And Father, we just want to pray specifically this morning too that you will help us to make wise decisions as a congregation as we move forward. Help us to lead us to the next person who will be serving as the minister here. And we just pray that your will is done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.